The ragged holes still smoking and dropping burning molten detritus to the buildings and streets far below. The dome's atmosphere screamed as it was vented to the outside, as if in distress at mixing with the toxic clouds beyond. At the nearest of these wounds in the protective skin, Lannery could see several large, bulky shapes. Battle droids, hunkered low by the hole and firing laser cannons into the city. The barrage seemed to be indiscriminate, and many fires were already taking hold. The battle droids edged forward and the first of them dropped, retros beneath its many arms, firing to ease its descent. A missile streaked from the tower above them and struck the droid. It bloomed fire, fell out of sight into a manufacturing district, and exploded. More missiles curved away from the tower, sweeping in graceful arcs and impacting the dome around the shattered area above. Some droids erupted in fiery death. Others tumbled across the outside of the dome. More dark shapes replaced them, and the barrage began again. At another smashed section, an attack ship hovered. A plasma cannon started pulsing into the ground close to the column's base. Each impact was huge and shook the city, the ground, the air itself. Explosions of fire and smoke mushroomed up, and Lannery could not help wondering how many people were dying with each impact. Beneath the central column, she thought, just where Dale would have told them Pan Deep lay. More rockets were fired from the tower, but as they approached the dome's underside, they evaporated into clouds of blazing white vapor. The attack ship had defenses. Lannery could hardly imagine the destruction involved if it succeeded in getting inside. "We've got to go!" Tree shouted above the noise, grabbing her arm. The balcony vibrated with each impact, and if the attack ship shifted its targeting by just a few degrees... "Come on," Lannery said. She grasped Tree's hand as he pulled away, squeezed to calm him. "Trust me!" Then she hauled him to the edge of the balcony and tipped over. Any normal person would have been killed instantly by the fall. But Lannery eased them down with the force, slowing their descent and landing them with barely a jolt on the street below. People ran around them in confusion and terror. No one even seemed to notice them. "Don't ever do that again!" Tree shouted, almost hysterical. "Next time I won't hold your hand!" Lannery ran, and Tree went with her. Far to the south, hidden by smoke and the haze of many weapons, a ground battle seemed to be taking place. She could not make out the details, but she could just see the sparking impacts of artillery fire speckling the outside of the dome's shell several kilometers in the distance, and the constant thump, thump of returning fire sang through the air. Hundreds of bright lights dropped from punctures in the dome. Battle droids, or perhaps even ground assault troops. A much heavier impact sounded, like Nox itself shrugging. Lannery felt a deep vibration that set buildings swaying. Glass smashed, wreckage showered down all around as weaker buildings started to break down. The air inside the dome seemed to momentarily blur, and outside the city's huge skin, the skies lit up. "Incoming plasma bombs," Lannery said. "They're being diverted for now, but they'll get through soon enough."
"So how can you help?"
"Help?
You're a Jedi, aren't you?"
"We're not magicians, Tree. You know that as well as anyone."
"But this is..."
"We get out," Lannery said, "as fast as we can. Dale thinks we died down there, and all this is just to make sure. Whatever escape route he had is hidden to us, and he'll be away and gone by now. But this, what he's caused or initiated, is all for nothing. Because we're going to survive, and we know he's still alive."
"Look!"
Tree pointed. In the distance to the north, a section of dome had slid open, and several ships rose from across the city and headed for the outside. Lannery could tell from the way they moved that they were battleships, not civilian transports. This was not yet an evacuation. As the first ship passed through the dome opening, it exploded, blossoming into a ball of fire and erupting ammunition that rained down in a beautiful, awful shower across that part of the city. The other warships powered through the destruction, another of them exploding outside and then impacting the dome half a kilometer away. The others rose clear, and though they were little more than blurred shapes beyond the dome, Lannery saw them swing around and streak to the south. Come on, she said. I don't think we have long.
Until what?
Until we're a part of Greenwood Station's tragedy. Lannery led the way. She headed for the portion of Dome already bombed years ago by the Jedi. What she had learned of Pan Deep, that the Jedi had spared it because they commissioned high-end military tech themselves, did not sit well with her. But it was not relevant to her mission to consider that right now. And she, more than anyone, knew that the Jedi often harbored secrets. She spoke into her comlink.
Ironhogs, prepare the ship for takeoff. There's trouble. We'll be coming in fast. Initiate ship's defenses. Shoot anything that comes close that isn't us. Got that?
Her ship's droid crackled and spat in reply.
And start the tracking scanner, frequency 240. You should find the signal soon enough, probably just off-planet. Lock on and track it.
What signal?
Tree asked.
I put a tracker on Dale's clothing, she said. I just hope he hasn't found it.
Or changed his outfit.
Tree was trying to joke, but Lannery could not smile. Such a small thing as a change of clothing might doom everything she had ever known. She was already living in history in the making, the tragedy of Greenwood Station that would become known across the system. If she failed to catch Dale, and his attempt to initiate the Gree-Tech went wrong, then everything would be history, and there would be no one left to know it. There's still time, she thought, because she knew the device was not yet ready. The scientist had mentioned that it needed charging. She'd sensed no energy source there, nothing that might indicate that its dark matter drive had been primed or loaded. She would have known. Her teachings with Dan Powell had given her an insight into such shadowy matters. An arcane device that only needed charging before it was ready. A tracking chip that might or might not remain on Dale. Everything was suddenly so nebulous and unreliable. A war played out around them as they fled. People ran back and forth in panic, parents herding children, adults running in shouting groups. But Lannery could see some organizations starting to become apparent. Though they wore no sign or uniform, one group of men and women seemed to be part of some sort of Greenwood Station security force. They were breaking down the fencing around a compound housing several militarized cloud chasers, airships supporting heavy gun platforms, and with grav units fitted to landing gear to aid flight. As Lannery and Tree passed, the first of the airships started to hum with power. Other people bearing weapons rushed across the street ahead of them, heading south toward where the bulk of the fighting seemed to be taking place.
They'd do better to flee, Lannery said.
They're defending what they have, Tree said.
This is